Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Abundant Life Church, where we believe that God is a good God. He loves you and he wants to bless you. Now join us as we dive into today's message.
Well, y'all can be seated. Welcome to church. It's Sunday morning. Easter is behind us. Can you believe it? It is a thing of the past. It is here and it is gone now. Man, if you were here with us, give me a wave last week at Easter Sunday service. It was... If you haven't heard it, just go listen to it. It was so amazing. It was such a powerful day. We had more than 2,000 people here on this campus. It was amazing. Before I go any further, if you served in any capacity on Easter Sunday, I want to tell you thank you so much. Can you just stand? If you're on a serve team and you served last week, can you just stand? These people make it happen for our church. These are our people. They make it happen. Thank you so much. Give them a hug. Throw them some money. Whatever. Thank you so much for the amazing stuff that you guys made happen last week. The one unsung team that never gets to be in here because they're probably still out in the parking lot is our parking lot team, man. Yeah. They worked so hard last week. I was so proud of them. So, hey, and babe. Okay, so I'm not going to call you babe. I'm sorry. That's what I call him. So that's what I call him. And anybody that has littles know that they pick up on what you say. So the sweetest thing ever is to hear my four-year-old call me babe. Hey, babe, can I have a snack? Thanks, babe. But, okay, so Pastor Sean went through the 66 books of the Bible and what Jesus was in each one. And can I tell you, I'm sorry, I have to brag on you. He did it without his notes. I saw him walking away, and I'm like, oh, no, don't walk away. Don't do that. He did it with, I mean, what an anointing that the Lord led you through that. It was so powerful. Jesus in every book of the Bible. He's there. He was the ultimate plan. I love Jesus so much. So we're going to talk about him today. So I get to start a new series today on something that I'm super excited about, the Beatitudes. Yay, the Beatitudes. So I want to give you a little background about it. This comes straight out of Matthew 5, and it's really cool because it is Jesus, and it's Jesus' first big sermon. So Matthew 1, 2, 3, we kind of have backstory about Jesus, his genealogy, how he came to be in the position that he's in. And then, I'm sorry, I gotta catch my breath a second. I get excited. how he came to be and where his line was from and all those amazing people. And then in chapter 3, we start getting into like Jesus preparing and getting ready to go into the ministry. And then chapter 4 is a really cool part about Jesus getting baptized and, you know, the Spirit of God comes down on him and you know, you can hear the audible voice of God calling, saying, this is my son and who I'm well pleased. And then he goes into He goes into the wilderness and he gets tempted by the devil and he comes out of there after 40 days in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's really awesome. So then he starts healing people, right? Because now he's got the power. Can we lower these spotlights, guys, just a touch? It's really bright, sorry. He moves in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he begins his ministry. He is laying hands, he is casting out devils, he is healing people of all their diseases, he is getting his disciples together, and he's ready to go, and then, boom, chapter 5 happens, and it is the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, man, and here's the most amazing thing about it. He's speaking to people of Jewish descent, right? He's speaking to a group of people that have 460-something rules that they got to make sure that they follow at all times, or else they will become unclean. They will fall out of good graces with God, right? They will be in big trouble. Jewish law, how you have a relationship with God back then, is you follow the rules. So Jesus comes, and he's like, hey, stop for a second. It's not just about the rules. See, the Sermon on the Mount is taking it a step further, and he's calling his people to look at their heart. You see, it's not just about following the rules. It's about where our hearts are as we do the things that we're supposed to do. And what we often overlook is that if our heart is in the right place, then it's not even about the rules. So Jesus has this whole new thing that he wants to start sharing with people, the Sermon on the Mount. And in the first part of it, he says, the part that I'm going to focus on and emphasize today, and I've spent so much time just praying and asking the Lord, like, what is your heart for this? Because it's something that is really dear to me, because he's been showing me how much I need him. So, Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have a couple of different words that I want to break down for you before we get into the message. Blessed, blessed. I say blessed because I guess that's the KJV in me coming out. some scriptures, you just got to say it like that, right? Like Psalm 23. There's a lot of thous in that, and I just hold on to that. That's just part of it. Blessed. Inward happiness, contentment. It is, I love the Spirit-Filled Life Bible because it says, it's a condition for which congratulations are in order. That's how good your life is when you are blessed. When you have blessing, it's a condition that deserves congratulations. Look at you. You are doing great, aren't you? Congratulations on your life, right? You're welcome. You're welcome. And then we talk about the word spirit. Spirit is the essence, the energy of who we truly are. It is the part of us that is capable of communicating and receiving from the Lord. This is the part of us this is the part of us, right, that we're constantly battling against, of course, because our flesh is so present in our lives. But the spirit is the thing that we need to hear, that we need to listen for. But then we have this word, poor. What this means here every time I thought about like sharing this message, I have this vision of me crying the whole way through, so I'm really going to try to not do that. I'm going to tell some jokes and lighten the mood. No, I'm kidding. Poor in spirit means that we are conscious of our need for God. It means that we're aware of our complete and total lack without him. That we are in a place of complete neediness. We are in a place of poverty. If we try to operate outside, it's not just physical, it's not just emotional, it's not just material. It is spiritual neediness. It is a deep understanding that our ability to do life well is entirely dependent on our relationship with the Lord and our dependence on him. It is the recognition of that. It is managing our lives well, that comes from the neediness. Our need for him makes us ask, makes us request, makes us close, draws us close to him, draws us near. It's in our decisions. It's in the words that we speak. It's in the way that we spend our time. It's in our hearts. Our whole life here on this earth is learning how to not be subject to our flesh, to our desires, to our physical wants, to the things that we think are going to fill our voids, to make us complete. We think that if we satisfy this desire for a thing, desire to be known, desire to have relationship, if we satisfy that on our own, that it is going to meet the need, when in fact, if it is not from the Lord, it does the opposite and actually sabotages our life. We come to a place in being poor in spirit that we understand that He's got to control all of that. He's got to control all of our decisions. He's got to control all of our choices. He's got to control all of our words. And that might be a hard thing to receive, but bear with me a little bit. We're going to walk through it. A lot of times what happens is we get in a good place, right? We're in a good rhythm. Like y'all know, anybody that's ever heard me talk has heard, knows that I have a problem with patience, or have had a problem with patience. And it is, don't laugh so loud, come on. He told me last week I've been doing a lot better with it. So I don't know why you're laughing so loud. But the Lord told me, hey, we're not doing that anymore. And I know I've told you guys that as well. Like, he told me at the beginning of the year, like, hey, I know that's a thing for you, but you're not claiming that anymore. That's not your thing. We're not doing that anymore. You're living differently now. And so I had this like period, this track record of like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I've been taking a lot of deep breaths. I've been getting the mind of the Lord in difficult situations. I'm doing a pretty good job. And then like one day I felt like I regressed and went back to where I was. And I'm like, Jesus, what was that? Like, why? I was doing so good. But my ability to walk the way that He wants me to walk is dependent on Him every single day, not just in the past. So if I'm gonna do well at maintaining my patience level today, it means I have to be guided by Him today, right now, in this moment. It's not about what I did yesterday or last week or how I've not freaked out about anything in these last months, whatever. It's what I do today. And so we start thinking like, okay, I'm good. I've learned this. I don't need to pray about this anymore. But God's still like, hey, no, you still need me, because you know what? If you take me out of the equation, this is just behavior modification and you're gonna go right back to where you were. I have to depend on Him for every good choice, for every encouraging word. He has to change me from the inside out. And when I let Him, when I partner with Him, because I'm aware that I am poor in spirit, because I'm aware that every good thing that comes out of me is from Him, then I have the power and the authority to do the things that I've been called to do. But I'll start to believe that my righteousness is the thing. The fact that I did so good for so long, and that's the thing that's making me better, and it's not that. It's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit being able to operate in me that allows me to do that, that allows me to walk in the power and the authority that I have to yield to Him. That is the being poor in spirit that I am talking about today. It is my recognition of the fact that I cannot do it on my own. My best, most sinless, most holy day is nothing without the Holy Spirit operating through me. Is separate. If I don't let Him, if I don't yield to Him, then I'm doing stuff on my own and I am never gonna get to where I need to go. I'm never gonna live to the fullest that God has called me to live. I am never gonna be thoroughly blessed the way the Word says, the way that God wants me to live. He loves us so much. We sing these songs like, He is my defender, He's my firm foundation. That's who He wants us to be. That's who He wants to be for us. But so often we try to be our own firm foundation and we're broken. We try to be our own foundation and it's gravel, it's sand, it's wasting away. It's breaking down. I want to get into a couple of things that keep us from being poor in spirit. There's three things that I came up with. I'm sure you can come up with more, but three really big things that stand out to me, and the first one is sin. The only reason why people have will keep sin in their life is a couple. I mean, like, you have an emotional outbreak and you forget about the Lord, right? Like, that happens to the best of us. Like, the Lord, you don't yield to the Holy Spirit. You don't allow him to determine what you're going to say or do, right? That's a choice. But also, there's this thing that we think in sin that, you know, if we get this thing, that it's going to fill this need. I can't stop looking at this thing. I can't stop pulling up this website. I can't stop going out and trying to meet somebody. I can't stop depending on drugs and alcohol. I can't stop because that thing is filling a need, and it's filling a need for us in the flesh. But it's never filling the true need. We're not ever looking at the reasons why we're doing that thing. And we're not allowing the Lord to fill that spot, to fill that void, to be what we are trying to deal with, what we're trying to alleviate by sin. We can look at our lives and we can say, I'll get to that later, because right now I've got this. But is the Holy Spirit whispering to you, like, hey, we can't keep playing this game? Because if you're gonna keep playing this game, I can't be around it. And I'm gonna have to remove my spirit from you. When you are not being poor in spirit and dependent on the Lord and allowing sin to stand in your place, then you're not going to receive, you're not going to be able to receive the wisdom, the direction that you need for your life. It is going to shut down the voice of the Lord. You will not be able to hear it. This is what sin does. This is what sin does. And we think that it's harmless, but we allow it to stay in between me and the Holy Spirit. Y'all know, when I came to this church, I was not saved. So I know what it's like to have to go through this process of like, okay, I gotta get rid of that thing. Well, now the Lord's telling me to get rid of this thing. Well, I just got rid of that thing. Can we like slow down? Well, the Lord wants me to walk in the fullness of what he has for me. And the quicker that I can allow him to move and work in my life, the quicker he can give me all the things that he wants to give me. And that applies right now to today. We think I'm short-tempered. Well, and that's not a big sin. I'm not getting drunk every day. I'm not doing whatever. That's not a big thing. It is a big thing if it separates you from the Lord. It is a big thing if the Lord is saying, you need to calm down right now, and you are choosing not to, because that is disobedience the same way that a porn website is. Don't let sin keep you from what the Lord has for you. The next thing that we have is pride. Ooh, this is a good one. This is a really good one, and it's a good one for me because I'm a perfectionist. I always say, like, I should have gone in the military, or I should have, like, become a police officer, because if you could just follow the rules, and like I followed all the rules, and I passed all the tests, and I did all the things, and I can get my next promotion, and I like those guidelines. That's why I love Deuteronomy. It is very clear on what the Lord wants from me, and I will do those things. Thank you very much. But pride is that thing where we think we got it, and I don't need no help. You ever notice a lot of times people come to know the Lord, like when they're in jail, or they go through a sickness, or they lose a loved one, or something traumatic happens, and it creates this great need, right? You need that hope. But then, like, they get healed, or they get out of jail, or whatever. And then that need, they now can fill it with other things, right? They don't have that thing that wakes up in the morning and says, okay, you gotta find hope. You gotta get to Jesus. Pride kind of does that. It's like pride, you make a lot of money, you know, you've got the things that you want. Well, you don't have that significant need that's in your face. So right now, I'm just gonna do the next thing that makes sense to me according to whatever the popular culture is. Well, healthy is, you know, going to the gym. So I may not have a financial urgent need, but I have this other need and I can't identify what it is, so I'm gonna work a little harder on my physical, right? So I'm gonna go to the gym, or I'm going to practice yoga and get into the unity of mind, body, and soul, or whatever it is that we are told that allows us to be better at the things, right? Has a better life, helps us to have a better life. Until we've gone down the list and we've still got all the things and we are still empty. Y'all, this is my story. I had all the things. I wasn't a millionaire or anything, but I had all the things. I had an education. I had a car. I just bought my new house by myself. I was quite a catch. But y'all, I was so broken. And yoga didn't fill that. And meditating didn't fill that. And working out and eating well and treating myself well and partying at the clubs on the weekends didn't fill that. Because I was broken inside, and I didn't know Jesus. See, our pride is we get to a place where we've built this life, and we think that the next big thing is just going to come, because we've done so well already. Did you see my track record? Don't you see that I have a home and a great job? Don't you see? So I'm going to depend on my next step for my happiness. And there's this lovely set of scripture in Deuteronomy. And I'm going to start in verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud. At that time, and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery out of Egypt. And I'm going to skip down to verse 18. He did all of this, I'm sorry, 17. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this with all my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors. I love the New Testament, or the New Living Translation, because it says, and, I'm sorry, this is New King James Version. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. It is he. Every bit of success that you have had up to this point, you may be coming here as a favor to somebody. You may be watching online at home and think, I don't even need to go to church because I'm good. I've got the things. It is God who gave you what you have. Your success that you have right now, your success that you had in the past, it's from the Lord. It is he who gives you the power in whatever way to get wealth. It is him. It comes from him. It says in James, every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes from the Father of lights. Please do not forget that. Please do not forget that. I was praying with somebody once, and they were getting, I was dropping them off at the airport. And I was just believing that I was gonna like be having like an impact on them. And I was praying for them, and they were getting ready to go and do like a big pitch in New York City. And I was like, Lord, thank you for the skill that you've given them. Thank you for the talent that you've given them. And they yanked their hand out of my hands and said, no, I did that. Everybody just went, ooh. But we do that all the time. You and I. You and I. I never want to leave this stage and say, that was awesome. I did a good job. I never want to do that. I never want to do that. As soon as my foot hits the ground down here, I want to always say, Jesus, thank you for using me. But how often do we say, I did good. That was awesome. And I'm not saying we don't celebrate ourselves, but we allow our pride to get in the way, and then we move away. These are times that the enemy will attack us. Number one, when you're broken. Number two, when something great just happened. Because you are further away from the Lord, because you can allow yourself to get further away from the Lord because you think you're good now. And no, you're not. Because your next victory is dependent on him. This one is already in the past. This is why we have to be on guard when we did a big business deal, or we just closed a contract, or we just had this big celebratory moment. Because our next step is just as dependent on him as the last one. And the last thing I want to mention is brokenness keeps us from being poor in spirit, because when we're really hurting, a lot of times there's just immediate things that don't require any faith, and they're not going to put us in a position where we have to believe for something. They're just gonna make us feel good right now. Like, I don't know, this drug or this bit of alcohol or whatever, I know how that's gonna make me feel. I don't have to have faith. It's gonna make me feel better, so that's what I'm gonna choose. When we put our brokenness into things or relationships, we have brokenness. All of us go through hard things as children and throughout our lives, and we often don't get healed properly. So then we go to relationships and we try to say, this is the thing that's gonna fix me. This is the thing that's gonna help me to be better. And that is a lie from the enemy, because the only thing that is going to make you feel better, to be truly better, to be better from the inside out, is Jesus. That is the only thing. But our brokenness will keep us from being poor in spirit because we're trying to put our hurt somewhere. You guys, When my mom died a couple years ago, like, man, I don't know what it was. I was close to him. I was close to the Lord. And then I just didn't want to pray. I don't know what it was. And it caused me to not properly mourn. It caused me to have to go through little extra hurt, a little extra grief from it. When last year I was going through such a hard time, and I was still praying every day, but I was doing it from like the wrong place. I was doing it from a place of like, Lord, I don't know if I'm doing this right, and I'm really trying to pray, but I don't know, and I don't know what to do about this, and I don't know what to do about that. Like, and I was just unloading on him rather than letting him be who I needed him to be. I wasn't letting him be who he wanted to be to me. And I remember one day I went over to a friend's house and I'm like, she's gonna give me the word from the Lord that I need to hear right now. We depend on people to give us what Jesus wants to give us, what Jesus needs to be in position to give us. He wants us to trust him to be that person, to be that person that has the word. It does not have to come from an audible voice. It does not have to come from that inspiring movie or that great experience that you paid $1 million for. It doesn't have to come from that. Complete wholeness comes from the Lord in the quiet, secret place. And I left her house that day, and I just had this moment of repentance. You see, I had to apologize. I had to repent because I was doing it the wrong way. And I was putting my trust in people. And I was putting my trust in whatever else but Jesus. We all deal with hurt and pain differently. But Jesus wants to take that from us. He wants to receive that. He wants to walk us through it. He wants us to sit in his arms and receive his love. This does not mean that we no longer experience pain associated with the thing that we're dealing with. That's not what that means. But it means that he helps us heal well. It's like setting a broken bone. If you don't set it, if you don't go to the doctor and have a medical professional look at that thing and set it the right way, it's not gonna heal right. And it will never properly function. But if you go to the doctor and you have them set, then you can get full restoration in that thing. How often do we look to other things to heal our hurts? We look to relationships, we look to people, we look to drugs and alcohol, we look to whatever else. We look to zoning out. Let me just get a dopamine hit. You ever had a stressful day and you're like, I'm just gonna sit on Instagram for like 20 minutes because I deserve it. What if we took that and did something else with that 20 minutes? It's a muscle we would have to build. But what if we did that? What if we allowed the Lord to take that place in us? I want to take you somewhere. John 6. We are going to take a tour through the Gospels. When we know and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and we can come to the end of our own road and start on the road that is his, it's the narrow one, but it's the right one. It's the one that's the most full. It's the one that is going to cause you to be the most blessed. And I am not talking about just financial. When we think about being blessed, we automatically go to that. But that is wholeness in our relationships. That is empowering you to be a better parent, a better worker, a better business owner, a better decision maker, a better life manager. I mean, my goodness, it allows you to have a fuller life. That is what I mean when I say blessed. It does not mean money. You could be, I mean, God does not want you to live in lack, but he doesn't intend for everybody to have the same amount of money either, right? We all have different things that we need to do, and we all have different levels of financial success that we're gonna have. But God is not gonna have you live in lack. When you're poor in spirit, he is able to meet you everywhere, in every place that he wants to take you. So John 6, I'm going to read a bit of scripture to you. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, this is Jesus, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. Not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now this is Jesus talking to this whole multitude, right? Because we know that he had the 12, but he had a great number of people that followed him as well, that followed him, went on the road with him, that served him, that were sent out two by two. I mean, he was teaching and empowering these folks also. And as he began to teach about the communion, about him going to the cross, it's a hard thing, right? He was trying to take them to the next level, and these folks were not prepared to hear it. Verse 59, he said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew at the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by the Father. From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? I'm going to move into my clothes, but he said, do you also want to go away? He gave them an option. You see, that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Love is about choice. True love is about choice. It's not forced. He doesn't make us. I always wish, like, Lord, why don't you just make me in a way where I don't have to choose other, like, I don't have to put away other things, because there's too many times where I don't choose you when I need to. There's too many times. God, why can't you make me this way? Just my eyes on you and that's it. Why? Because love is about choice. Verse 68. But Simon Peter answered him. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we supposed to go without you, Jesus? Who would we go to? You have the words of eternal life. Peter always says, you know, what's on his mind. And I love that about him. But I know, I've told this story before, but, you know, a few years ago, gosh, it's like 6 years, 7 years almost. My husband and I had a miscarriage. I had a miscarriage. And I was so mad at God. And I was done. I was so mad. And I sat on the floor of our garage, and I had it figured out. Like, I was done. I'm leaving. Like, I'm out of here. We can sell our house and make a ton of money on it. We can get out of here. We don't have to be here. We don't have to serve God. We don't have to do this thing. We don't have to be in this church. We don't have to. We can go. My husband can, I can work at any nonprofit. I can change lives somewhere else. I can, my husband can edit videos and make a gazillion dollars. He can do whatever he wants anywhere else. We don't have to do this. And as I'm going through this in my head, I had this moment. Where else am I gonna go that I'm gonna be in the will of the Lord? My life without Jesus is not worth living. Do you understand that He is your purpose? He put you here on this earth to find Him and to commune with Him and to carry His name everywhere that you go. That is who He is, and that is what He wants you to be. I had a moment where I had to make a decision, and I realized that the easier way, the way that was gonna let me feel better, the way that was gonna let me drown my sorrows in alcohol or whatever, zone out and sit in front of the couch and watch TV, whatever, that way, that easy way, was not the way that I wanted to go. That is not the way that Jesus had for me. That was not the way to purposeful life. That is not the way. Where else would I go, Jesus, but with you? Where else am I gonna go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of life. It says in Matthew 4, when Jesus went out to the wilderness and he was being tempted by the devil, and the devil was like, if you're the Son of God, make these stones into bread. And the response that Jesus gave was from Deuteronomy 8:3, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. This is living word. This is rhema word. This word is alive, and it is true, and it is for your day. It is for your day. Today, the daily walk with the Lord. That is the bread of life. That is the bread of life. His word for your life. That thing that you take away when you go and have your devotion time in the morning, it is that thing that wakes you up at 5:30 instead of 7 when you actually have to get up, because you're so hungry for what God has for you that day, that you know that you've got a tough day ahead of you, or you know that you're gonna have to make some big decisions, so you know you need to get into the presence of the Lord, or else you are faced with potentially not making the right decision. That is poor in spirit. That is a need for Him. That is understanding and knowing, God, without you, I don't have it. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I might not make the right decision. But it has to be every day. It cannot be every so often. If there is one thing that can change your life, it is spending time with Jesus every day. Don't look at it like I've got to spend an hour and a half. Don't look at it like that. Start where you are and spend 10 minutes. Read 6 verses. Read 1 chapter wherever you are. Get to know the one that wants wants to love you, that wants to heal you, that wants you to have success in every area of your life. It is Him. And if you don't know Him, then you won't know how to access Him. But here's what we do. We fail, we mess up, and then we go away, and we go sit down somewhere, and we say, like, I don't even know why I'm trying. I just messed up so bad, so I'm not gonna go back. Look at me. I've been trying so hard for so long, and I had this big, epic fail, so I'm not going to church. I'm not going to church to speak. I'm not going to pray today because God don't even want to talk to me. I know that. I know He doesn't even want to talk to me. That's what we tell ourselves. Luke 22, verse 57. But He denied Him. This is Peter in the courtyard when Jesus is about to be crucified and He is being beaten. And Peter's there trying to keep eyes on the Lord, see what's going on. And he denies Jesus one time. He denies Jesus two times. And this is the third time. He asked him saying, and he denied him saying, "Woman, I do not know Him." And then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with Him also. And he said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Jesus already knew what you were going to do. And He still loves you. He still wants you to come back. And the beautiful thing about what happened with Peter is he ran away from there. We know he ran away. He wept bitterly. He separated himself from the rest of the disciples. And when Jesus rose from the grave, He told the women who came to find Him, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." This is in the book of Mark. "Go tell the disciples and Peter," because Peter had separated himself from the disciples, but he needed to be reminded who he was, that he was Peter. And on that rock, Jesus was building His church. You cannot do anything that Jesus doesn't already know. You can't do that, but what you cannot allow yourself to do is sit in failure and feel sorry for yourself or be so mad at yourself and say, "God doesn't want to talk to me." No, He does. Oh my gosh, He does. He can't wait for you to come running. He can't wait for you to say, "I'm sorry," so He can reestablish your relationship with Him. Do you understand? Do you understand that He is not angry with you, that He just wants you back, that He just wants you to say, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again," that it's not too late, that you are not now disqualified? Do you know that that's what Jesus wants? Jesus made it a point. He looked Peter in the eyes when he was doing the unthinkable. And all of us think, you know, if I was Peter, I would never do that. I'm a disciple of Jesus, of course. But in the moment, he wavered in the moment. In the moment that counted, he wavered. And Jesus said, go get Peter. Part of my family, and I love them. I want them to know that. Sometimes we think that we think, like, we'll still go to church, we'll still do our things, we'll still check the boxes, but our relationship is broken with Him because our heart is not in the right place. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants you to think about Him when you wake up in the morning. He wants your devotion. He doesn't want you to look at the things that you're saying no to and be like, oh man, I can't do that anymore. He wants you to say, I don't want to do that anymore because it separates me from my Lord and Savior. I don't want to do that. I'm going to move away from that thing because I choose you. I choose you. Hosea 6:6. All of Hebrew culture was built on offering sacrifices, doing a thing to make yourself right with the Lord, shedding blood, actually financially costing you something so that you could atone for your sin. Hosea 6:6 says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Psalm 51. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. Isn't that the easy thing? Can I just follow the rules? No, God wants our hearts. This is the hard thing. This is the more difficult thing. This is the thing that Jesus was turning everything around. He was turning the world upside down when He came and gave the Sermon on the Mount, because all the people had to do was follow the rules before, and now they had to give their hearts to Him. Now it was a totally different thing. It meant a whole new set of circumstances, but it was the easier way because all it is a choice. You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you do not despise. That is being poor in spirit. But there's one more thing that we cannot forget. I'm sorry, I'm going through a lot of scripture, but I'm not sorry because it's scripture and it's always good for us. Sorry. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. I'm going to start in verse 3, and I want you guys to really listen to what I'm saying. And when the man went out to the east with his line in hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through to the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. He again measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was water I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows from the toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. It shall be that every living thing that moves wherever this river goes will live. And it shall be, there will be a very great multitude of fish because the waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Verse 12, fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of this river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will be always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. If we are going to believe in Jesus and be poor in spirit, we have to believe and know and have faith that he is going to meet us where we are, that he is going to come through when we have need. If we don't have that faith, how are we ever going to get in that river? But you know what? That river, it's meant to be crossed. We're meant to be getting in it. But we have to let the power of the Holy Spirit carry us, and we have to trust that it will. We have to believe that it will. It doesn't do us any good if we have a broken and contrite spirit, but we don't expect God to move in our lives. Who is he? Who are you, Great Mountain? I've got expectation. I've got expectation that you're going to come through, because you know what, God? I need you so bad, because I need you. You are the thing. The river of life. This is the river of life. This is fruit in every season. Fruit every month. Not even in every season. This is fruit all the time. What do you want from him? Because it sounds like he's offering me everything I could possibly need. Non-stop fruit. But I gotta be poor in spirit. I gotta depend on him. To be so needy that I can open my eyes and my feet will touch the ground first thing in the morning, so that I can receive my daily bread from my God, from my Jesus, who longs to speak with me, who longs to pour out to me. But we have to put ourselves in position. The banks of the river produce fruit every month. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Is that not our scripture for the year? But it starts with our choice.
We trust that what you heard today has encouraged you to live the abundant life. For more information about our ministry, please visit us on our website, abundantlife.tv, or follow us on Instagram at abundantlife_TV and Facebook at Come to Life. And remember, God is a good God. He loves you and he wants to bless you.